If the election of Donald Trump was an earthquake, his accomplishments since are the aftershocks no one saw coming. From best-selling author Stephen E. Strang comes Trump Aftershock, the seismic impact on culture and faith in America. Trump Aftershock offers unique insights that will cut through the media noise and reveal what they won't tell you. Gain a better understanding of the political, emotional, and spiritual dimensions at work in Trump Aftershock. Available where fine books are sold.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Randy Clark has an enormous influence around the world. God has done so many things through him and his ministry, Global Awakening. Randy is one of the most active and vibrant Christian leaders I know. He flies all over the world, but yet he takes time to train and mentor and focus on the next generation. I was able to catch up with him recently at a Christian conference, and we were just talking about how he was raising up young men to minister like he does and even sharing them with some other ministries as needs came up. And I said, "This is so fascinating. Could I record a podcast with you?" Because even though he's sharing his own experiences, I think that that will inspire you. And then I ask him how this can relate to others who are having to mentor and raise people up. And in the process, we get kind of a new feel for what God is doing among the younger generation, because we hear so much bad news about millennials, but yet Randy Clark has a good report. So here's my interview with Randy Clark. Randy Clark, I'm going to talk to you about the next generation. I know you well enough to know that you feel that the Lord has actually given you a word about raising up leaders. And of course, for every generation, this is a challenge to hand off to the younger generation. You've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of things happen, you know, going all the way back to the great move of God at Toronto. Tell me what you see happening with the younger generation, the millennials, we call them. Who is God raising up? Help me and help my listeners know what's happening.
Okay. Well, several years ago, my board called me on the phone and said, "Global Awakening, the name of my ministry, is doing a lot. But what's the most important things that you're doing so as a board we can keep you focused? Tell us what you think this is the most important thing, so we make sure that you don't depart from that." And instantly, I'd never been asked that. Instantly, my answer came out. Most important thing the rest of my life is to pour myself into the next generation, to multiply myself. That what I do doesn't end when I die or I just can't go anymore. That the ministry and all that God has put on my heart continues in the next generation. So I've actually mentored personally 40 people. I counted them up one day. They have traveled with me, stayed in hotels with me. At one time, before we had as much finance as we did, I spent 2 years with three other guys sharing one hotel room. That means that somebody's getting up like 2 hours in advance to start getting ready, because we got one bathroom in it, four of us. So I've mentored people a lot, and then it became intentional when we moved to Pennsylvania from St. Louis. So that was 2001, that's 17 years ago. And what my number one stallion, so to speak, thoroughbred, like I'm using metaphors here, the number one anointed person that really was carrying powerful anointing, Heidi Baker needed him. And he was going, it's like, this is my first associate. And I'd spent years with him, and his name is Will Hart. I said, "Heidi, if you need him, I don't want to hold anybody back from what God's purpose." And I said, "Will, if you want to go, you got my blessing." And anyway, long story short, he's now like CEO of Iris Ministries. But I feel like Nathan in the story of David and about the shepherd, one guy had one sheep and the other guy had 1,000 sheep, but the guy had 1,000 sheep took that one guy's sheep. Nothing to do about David's sin, but just that whole concept. I only had one, and I know it's right, and he knows it's right, but I sold him with a good heart. And as he's leaving town, almost simultaneously, for some it was the same day, God is bringing some amazing young people that
that I will discover into our school, the Global School Supernatural Ministry. And from that, I pick my interns. And from the interns, I bring on people on staff as associate ministers or working in our ministry. So now I have this, Paul Martini was the next one. And he had a strong healing anointing, but he didn't have impartation anointing. He couldn't do that. So the guy who prayed for me one day prayed for Paul at our headquarters where Paul's doing a meeting. And the power got hit Paul, knocked him down. He's sweating profusely. And after that experience, he now carried an anointing like I carry as well. He didn't get it from me, though. He got it from the guy who prayed for me, Blaine Cook. So now Paul's strong both in healing and in praying for others to receive transference of anointing or activation of gifts. So Paul was the second one. And then there's this guy named Justin Allen. He's very prophetic. A few nights ago in Brazil, I'm praying for this woman. Just to show you, amazing. And she has a problem in her knees, and I'm praying for that. And God's touching her knees, and the pain's getting better. But she also had something wrong with her middle finger, and it was a tendon or something, and it was a lot of pain. It was pulling down. And Justin comes up, and he sees him praying for the knees, and he feels like he's supposed to pray for her hand because he felt something in her hand. It's like this power hit his hand in that finger. He reaches out, touches her, and God knocks her over, and that's instantly healed. He carries a powerful anointing for prophecy particularly. He's kind of an up-and-coming prophet person, and that's an area that our ministry could have grown in, could need some help because we didn't have someone strong in that. But the next person, his name is William Wood. And William had sat on the back row in my school, and the Lord told him, he'd been a pastor 8 years of a vineyard church in Alabama. And he said, don't tell anybody what you've done. Don't tell anybody your story. Don't tell your testimony. Do not try to position yourself to become an intern with Randy. I'll take care of it. You just stay hidden in the back. So he sat on the back row and didn't hardly say a thing for 2 years. I have Justin, and I'm training him, and I don't like to take but one at a time now to train, to mentor, to pour my life in, to talk not just about anointing, but family and how to balance, you know, family life, you know, just wisdom and how to get a contract on a book and how to write and I just focus on them in a holistic way. So I said, I can't take another one. I can't have two interns at once. I don't want to do that. So the leader of my school, Dr. Mike Hutchings, said, just read his testimony. And if you don't want to, that's fine, but don't make a decision till you read his testimony. I said, okay, I'll not make a decision until I read his testimony. But I'm thinking, I'm not going to ask anybody else. It's too hard. I read his testimony, and I say, I have to take this guy. So I want to tell you another time about his story. So there was Paul, and then there was Justin, and then William, who, by the way, now is doing national meetings in Africa and Asia, who's one of the best preachers I've heard, and just full of faith. And I know why, too, when I read his story. And then the next person was a young guy that was only like 19 or 18 when he came. When I saw the anointing on him, you know Paul Kane, in the heyday, in the height of his the specificity of his words. This guy's like a little Paul in the sense of, I got healed myself through him. He had a word of knowledge for me in the middle of a big crowd. And it was, you have herniated cervical disc, which I did, 4. And he said, and your birthday's February the 18th, 1952. That's my birthday. He created such faith, I was instantly healed. Mm. But I've been with him. He traveled with me. And even when he was traveling with me, I started getting stuff like he was getting, a little bit of it, like person's name and where they lived, the number. I never had that before because it was kind of going this way from him to me. But I would see him give people's names. He said he didn't know what they meant. He says, do these names mean anything? And it'd be a husband and wife. Does this name mean anything? It'd be the name of her disease. And does this number mean anything? And it'd be the number of their apartment or their house. Over and over and over, I saw him do it. And the last one, he's the older guy. He's 41, and he has creative miracles. In the United States, in 4 months, we've seen like 12 or 13 creative miracles when he would minister. And his story, like William's story, is amazing. Could be a movie, could be a book. So I'm sewing into these guys. The oldest one's 41. Most of them are in their 30s and 20s.
Well, as we wrap up, this is fascinating, and of course, it relates to your ministry. What advice do you have for other leaders who may be listening, who have the same challenge, who maybe need to know how to make this a priority, how to mentor? What are just a couple of things that you have learned that you could pass along?
A lot of the young guys need to know not just about how to minister in the power of the Spirit and the gifts. They need to know how to manage their lives, how to determine what's healthy for their family. Everybody's different. How to keep from burning out. How to keep from losing your kids. I've been very fortunate. All my kids love God, love each other, love my wife and I. We have a very close family. There's practical things like that that they need to be fathered in. So that it's just not the gift. They need to know that you're just not excited about their gift. You're excited about their life, their future. And as a father, you can bless them and not be threatened. Most of the time, the most anointed people we get around that's under us, if they appear to be more anointed than us and get more attention, subconsciously or consciously, we begin to push them away to where they actually leave because we're insecure. We have to face our own insecurity. And what it, for me, was the answer was that my first intern, very first one, he's 19 years old, first time he ever went with me was Redding, California, Bethel. I gave several words of knowledge, asked him if he had some. He said, I think I do. He got up, he gave some. It made me proud. He gave the same as I did, made me really proud. And then he went double what I did. And every time he started going past me, I literally subconsciously began to distance myself. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're uncomfortable. I said, I am. I don't like this. I'm supposed to be mentoring him, but he's having more words than me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if that was your son, who was exactly his age and in years, would you be distancing yourself now? Or would you be so grateful to me that your son is getting more than you have? And I remember saying to the Lord, I wouldn't be threatened. I'd be so happy if this is my biological son. And the Holy Spirit said, you cannot be a spiritual father until you feel the same way about your spiritual sons. You can't be threatened. You know, Will used to come up to him and brag, I sold more tapes tonight. This week, my teaching sold more tapes than yours. And I didn't get mad. And I wasn't threatened. I do want my spiritual sons and daughters to be more than me, better than me.
That's good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad that Randy Clark shared some tips that each of us can use. I'm in a situation where there are young people that I mentor and try to raise up, and I'm sure there are for you too, whether you're in Christian leadership or just an average person. God wants you to do your part in raising up the next generation to be godly and to move into their anointing and to learn. All of us have so much that we can share with others, so be bold and share what God puts in your heart. Thank you for listening to this edition of The Strang Report. God bless you. I'm Stephen Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.